Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Managing Change on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com with your host, Ronald Allen. This is home for truly engaging conversation. Managing Change brings you an eclectic perspective on issues that affect you, the id, the family nucleus, business, and that entrepreneurial spirit that is uniquely American. And yes, a word or two about life's perspectives on managing change, for that human touch that drives us to unique heights of accomplishment. Carve out the time every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. for Managing Change on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com. Search Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen. Now also streaming on www.managingchange2.com. Now, your host, Ronald Allen.
And good morning and welcome again to another episode of Managing Change, where we do discuss both the personal and business side of change. And as we know, we're moving to the word engagement. Why do we choose that word now? It's because in our psychology studies of human behavior, nobody really wants to change. On the other hand, if you speak to a group that's going out to a vacation or to a trip or even a business outing, engagement tweaks the ears, and people begin to say, well, what's going to be involved or engaged in this activity? And as we know, when you engage children in activities, they bring their strengths, interests, and most importantly, their can-do attitude. Well, today, we're back with Mark Landis, president of Metro Merchant Services, and his Director of Operations and Marketing, Joan Wennington. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Ronald. Thank you for having us on again.
Certainly. And Joan, you've clued in as well, I trust?
Yes. Good morning, Ronald. How are you today?
Very well, very well. Well, as we mentioned, Metro Merchant Services is considered a white-glove concierge service provider of merchant accounts. And in our first interview, one of three, we spoke about getting into some of the details of what is a good merchant account service provider and what are some of the things that you as merchants, as business owners, as entrepreneurs who need the mobility, security, and compliance that this type of business transaction demands. Well, today we're going to jump right into seven ways your merchant account provider is ripping you off. And just before we do, a quick reminder of those who may be attending the 12th Alliance Conference down in Baltimore on November. Just go to managinglifechanges.com, go under conferences, and you will see registration and, of course, the day's itinerary. So let's kick off, Mark and Joan. Let's see some of the issues that merchants, and even, you know what, I'm going to even extrapolate a little bit. Their clients should be looking for and or expect when they're transacting or they've chosen this vendor and then they are transacting business. So I guess the first question would be improper merchant account setup. Can you give us some stats on what the fail rate is and or the market, the industry benchmarks are?
Yeah, I'll take that one, Ronald. Thank you again for having us on. Yeah, merchant account setup is I'm not sure I can quote you a fail rate, but I can kind of, because it's probably hard to find data on this information. But the reality of this is it kind of goes back to why you'd want to choose Metro as your white glove concierge payment processor provider really comes down to expertise and knowledge of the industry. Unfortunately, in our business and in our industry, there's tons and tons of turnover of sales reps. You know, it's a sales-oriented business, and like most sales-oriented businesses, it, you know, they turn reps quite frequently. It's a revolving door often. So you don't have a lot of folks on the street that really have deep knowledge of the industry. So, you know, for the average retail or restaurant merchant, it probably doesn't matter much. But frankly, if you go into some business-to-business merchants or specialty category merchants where they have carved out pricing, special pricing carved out, that's when you can a sales rep that sets a particular merchant up could actually cost that merchant hundreds, thousands, or tens of thousands of dollars over time. So, there's certain industries and categories that if you don't set the account up right, the transactions won't clear the system correctly. And Visa and MasterCard have a lot of rules for transactions, and that's called interchange, which is also known, the other name for interchange is the cost of the transaction. So, kind of in a nutshell, if you clear the transaction the way the system wants you to, you get the lowest rate. And if that transaction doesn't clear and all the way the system wants to see it, then you'll pay more. So, account setup is one of those things where if you don't put the correct SIC or MCC code, which is a merchant category code, on certain types of merchant setups, you'll automatically downgrade and your transaction won't clear at the correct rate. So that's why it's very, very important to make sure you have someone confident that knows what they're doing. And Metro Merchant Services, we do that, very professionally and competently. I don't know, Jared, if you have anything to add to that, you can chime in. That would be great.
No, I think that you see all the time that they're getting the best rates, not because of the profit margin, but because the transactions are not clearing well. On our last call, I mentioned that we spent over $1,200 a month simply transactions.
I'm sorry, Joan, the last bit you said, if the client is paying $1,200 a month, and then I'm sorry, you blacked out there.
No, we save the customer over $1,200 a month in processing fees just by having their transaction clear properly.
So there,
okay.
Again, proper
okay.
setup, you know, she was saying the proper setup on a particular client of ours would have cost, improper setup would have cost them $1,200 a month. But since we did it correctly and monitored it, you know, we prevented that $1,200 a month loss. So there's a shining example of why you want to have your account set up correctly.
Certainly. Information, transactions, entering the... I'm sorry, getting a little feedback there. When you're entering information onto the system, I know there is some liability both on the merchant and the bank to ensure that the right security is in place. So at the point of sale, what should be happening? What security protocols should be followed, and how can that customer ensure that if there is a breach, that it's minimalized, their liability is minimalized?
Joan, you want to take that one?
Sure. So many customers are using point-of-sale software, and it's very important that the proper information be entered at the point of sale, and that the system is secure. We've had merchants where the credit card information was actually being stored on their server, a breach occurred, and the merchant received heavy fines and loss of business, and unbeknownst to him, the software provider, when they set him up, did not set him up properly, and he was unaware that his information was stored on the server. So we always make sure that merchants, when they're using the point-of-sale software, that it's notified to a PCI-compliant gateway, or that they have a certificate stating that a software is PCI-compliant and that all the credit card information is to. If a customer tries to swipe their card at the point of sale and the card doesn't swipe, then the merchant has to key enter that information. And there's critical information that should be entered at that point of sale when they're keying in, A, to make sure that they get a better rate, but also, B, it shows compliance department that they did due diligence at the point of sale to try to prevent a fraud. And then if the transaction is a fraud, then the merchant is exonerated the cost that because could to make sure that it was a good card. Now with EMV, which is the PIN technology, if a card has a chip on it and the merchant does not process it using the chip and that card is fraudulent, then the merchant will kind of lose if there is a chargeback. So chip and PIN is the dynamic of the industry, but when it comes to key entering in transactions at the point of sale, there's critical information that can help protect the merchant.
And I'm sorry if I missed it. Is there a dollar limit exposure to the client on these types of issues?
No, there's no dollar limit.
Okay.
If there is a breach and the merchant has not gone through their PCI compliance, which is going through the SAQ, the self-assessment questionnaire, and if they're using IP and not going through the scans, the required scans that occur 6 times a year, then the associations will fine them at a higher level simply because they didn't become PCI compliant to protect cardholder data. So a lot of merchants think that PCI compliance is not necessary. They think it's a money grab by the processors, but it does help in the case of a breach. They'll still get fined, but they'll get fined at a lower level if they did complete the PCI compliance box.
Well, if I may jump in too, Ronald, one of the things that the fines, there's fines, there's also often a per card fee that they have to pay too. So, it literally can drive and has driven merchants out of business because of breaches. So, one thing Metro does do to help that out is any merchant that becomes a Metro merchant on our system will get breach insurance, $50,000, right, Joan? I believe we provide. And
I would say that is correct.
Yeah. So we give our merchants $50,000 worth of breach insurance, which may not cover everything. It's something. But if you have a large batch of transactions, say you have a couple thousand, 10,000 transactions that are compromised, or cards that are compromised, even $50,000 won't cover that. And quite frankly, we recommend our merchants they get additional insurance if they really want to cover themselves. So, to wrap up that point, it is very, very important not to take compliance and PCI compliance and security lightly. You really have to be aware of it and not be afraid of it, but be aware of it and take the proper steps to protect yourself, because it really could run you out of business.
Before we get into our third question, talking about processing rates and fees, which seem to be constantly increasing, and I know, Joan, you had mentioned in our first interview that these incrementally and across the board of different types of fees, whether it's a standing fee, an administrative fee, a holding fee. I wanted to bring our audience's attention to a post you made back in October 2014, because Kmart, their portal was breached along with a number of other top-ranking merchants. And I know we touched on again PCI compliance, but can you give us a little background on that? And what would the merchant account vendor, the one that's providing this portal, what would they have to do? And I know at the end, and most of these reports say, the customer, the client should watch for inconsistent activity or suspicious activity on their accounts. Is this a daily, weekly activity that we as users have to begin to manage? And at the same time, back to Kmart and other providers, what's their responsibility?
Well, in the constant changing security in credit card processing, the industry is putting more and more controls in to try to minimize the fraud rate, especially and initially when PCI compliance started to be enforced, merchants kind of pushed back at it because there is an expense to doing it. But being PCI compliant tells the association that the merchant was concerned about protecting cardholder data, that they did want to take proper steps to managing how cardholder credit card information being secured. So PCI, which is Payment Card Industry, that stands for, is very important for merchants to go through the process because it educates the merchant to what they need to be thinking about to protect the cardholder data. In the case of these breaches, it's simply the long, I guess you really want to call the internet, on which they're using to go out to retain the authorization is not properly secured or firewalled. And, you know, I can't say exactly what would have happened, but in most cases, it's that something at the merchant level was not secured where the hackers were able to get in and breach. With today's technology, even now we're hearing where EMV technology is being compromised by hackers who are able to capture information off the card. So I don't think there's any bulletproof, but what the payment card industries are looking for is merchants are truly concerned about making sure that they're protecting their customers and their cardholder information from being breached by going through PCI compliance, by upgrading the system to read the chip, by putting in the proper information at the point of sale when they have to key in their information. It really is all about being diligent and what you should be doing at the point of sale to protect that customer.
Okay, and one quick note, if I may add in, Ronald, you know, quickly here. I know an odd incident. I think it was Home Depot. Either Home Depot or Target, one of the two, one of these big box retailers. The hacker got into the HVAC system, and I think a tech or someone whoever did hack it went in through the HVAC control panel and got to it. So, for big companies, they have a much bigger job of securing the networks than the average merchant out there on Main Street. But nevertheless, due diligence is always necessary.
I think that's very important, Mark, because when we talk about the consumer and certainly businesses who lease large facilities, some of their responsibility is also around the utility being serviced, so it's electric, gas, etc. And because these are highly automated platforms, you're absolutely right. There are opportunities that hackers can use to wreak havoc, access data, and or just shut down operations. So that should be a point across all vendors, and which I also like to acknowledge for compliance purposes. So we need to be diligent and more open-minded. When we think of a merchant account, we have to really think of the infrastructure of the technology that's delivering our services and how that could be compromised. So let's talk a little bit about processing rates and fees. And I know, Joan, again, you mentioned it on the first interview, but can you elaborate a little bit more and even define some of those line items, if you will? Look at an income statement and just say, you know, these are the line items of expenses that are being recognized. And then talk to us a little bit about the issue legislatively that these companies can actually apply these fees. Because remember back in the 90s, phone companies were being challenged because they kept adding, you know, state fee, county fee, user fee, all these little nuisance fees. Eventually they were termed nuisance fees. It seems to be happening also now in merchant accounts. Can you elaborate on that, please?
That is so true. Back many years ago, Durbin Act went into place, effective with the bank level of income. they basically changed the rate for debit card transactions that were being processed. So, and it was a significant decrease. So the issuing banks took quite a hit on the revenue stream in processing debit cards. So to try to make up some of that, these new fees have been implemented, and the fees just keep getting piled on. The list is very long. There's the MasterCard Nabu fee, the Visa processing fee, the FATA fee, interregional border fee, license fee, kilobyte fees. I mean, the list is just, it just keeps increasing, and a lot of the fees are here or a penny there, but they're cutting that up. We actually have a really awesome document that we put together that shows the merchant how those pennies can add up over time, and it can end up being thousands of dollars. Now, the processors have the ability to just pass those fees through, so the merchants can they will see the fee, but it's a strict pass-through. But then you've got companies out there that are increasing, surcharging those fees. So a fee that would go through, like the MasterCard Nabu fee, is the cost of 0.0195 cents per transaction. We see it all the time at 0.0295, 0.024, 0.03 something. So all of those little fees can add up, especially if they're being marked up by the merchant. So the only way the merchant will know that is if they Google those fees individually and find the cause, and then go back to their statement and compare it to their statement. Now, there's nothing illegal that the processor is doing by increasing that, using it as a revenue stream, but it gives the merchant the ammunition to go back to the
I want to share with our audience that I found the American Financial Services Association. It talks about interchange fees. And I know, you know, Mark, yourself and I, we said, well, how much information can we give the audience in such short periods of time? These are resources that you can go to. It's called thehill.com, and it's the American Financial Services Association, which lays out some of these issues. So now, when a merchant is going to conduct business or finds themselves in a marginalized situation, they can do some homework. They can do some due diligence. I also found the Merchant Bill of Rights payment processing in the news. Again, our audience can go to merchantbillofrights.org, that's the .org at the end there, and find out more information. I know we don't have a lot of time, and I know we wanted to get through all seven. Maybe that's a good thing. People start to, business owners start to realize how important these simple seven steps are and how much we certainly can elaborate on them. So let's move along. We'll push along a little here. Talking about pricing programs, can you tell us what does that mean? What do the vendors, obviously Visa, MasterCard are the biggest providers of that, how do they control? And how can we as merchants using this system minimize some of our own costs?
Okay, I'll take that one, Ronald. This really isn't a function of Visa, MasterCard per se. This is more a function of the processor and how they categorize transactions. So I'm gonna make it real clear and quick for everybody. The best and most efficient way to process transaction is on a billing methodology called interchange pass-through, which basically is an unmanipulated system, and your transactions clear through the system without manipulation. And I'll get into manipulation in a minute, but it can still cost you more money if you don't do things properly, but it's all kind of about the manipulation. So let me go into a highly manipulated system. So there's a billing methodology called three-tier pricing, which is real simple to understand, looks real easy, and a lot of people like it. It's called qualified, mid-qualified, and non-qualified. So a merchant might have a qualified rate of 1%, a mid-qualified of 2.5%, and a non-qualified rate of 3.5%. I'm just using it as an example. The manipulation happens when because interchange or the price of the transaction can be all over the place cost-wise, someone who sets up their merchants with three-tier, we call it three-tier pricing, you can steer a cheap transaction into a higher cost transaction. So let's just say they set their system up to take a check card. When a check card gets swiped through someone's terminal, and their sales rep may say, oh, check cards will be 1%, but they can actually make the system push that check card transaction up to the 2.5% bucket, okay? So basically, you may have, let's just say, 50 different types of transaction costs that could be anywhere from, a quarter of a percent to 3%, and they run them all through three buckets. So interchange pass-through lets them clear through at whatever category or cost that they have, which is called true cost, and that's what you want, where this other system steers transaction, usually almost always up to the more pricier transaction, which increases the profit for the credit card provider. Again, not Visa, MasterCard, but the credit card provider, and they will make a whole lot more profit on that billing methodology than on interchange pass-through, because interchange pass-through is literally passing through the cost of the transaction and adding a markup. That's simple. It's very simple. It's very clean. But this other, that the three-tier is a shining example of how what you don't want. And if anybody, it's easy to figure out your statement, because it's usually just three or four buckets of cost, and that's it. So that's a good example of how that can be not beneficial for the merchant.
Okay. Joan, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think Mark did a great job of explaining how that works. And, you know, we see the truth of the pricing, and we convert the merchant to interstate master, there's tons of savings.
Yeah, there's guaranteed savings. There's guaranteed savings when someone goes from three-tier to interchange pass-through. There just has to be, because, again, it's all steered up to the higher rates.
Okay. Well, these are some of the details that business owners need to be aware of. And I'm not going to say that it's a challenge and difficult and, you know, we've got enough on our plate already. It's just the environment that business is today in trying to utilize both technology, processes, and vendors so that our transactions can be executed more conveniently, both for our clients and also for our cash flow. Something that maybe, you know, we can touch on at another point is when you do go to your bank and you show that you have this infrastructure for receiving and making payments, you're also more likely, and this is, in fact, I spoke with my own banker at Wells Fargo just the other day, and I mentioned that we were having these series of interviews, and he said many decisions on underwriting is also predicated on having this infrastructure in place. So I know we touched on interchange rates, but you have here special interchange rates. Categories are offered for various industry types with lower fees. Can you please elaborate on that aspect?
Yeah, I'll elaborate on a couple of those.
Sure.
So for Visa and MasterCard to drive card usage, I'll give a real easy example. There's two that come to mind right away, but we all remember maybe 10 years ago, the fast food restaurants really didn't take credit cards. That was because the interchange or the price structure for what was very was not friendly to small tickets. In other words, small dollar transactions. When you put all the costs together of a transaction and against a $5 average ticket, and that's kind of how, I don't want to get into the complicated pricing methodology, but basically the merchant might be paying 7 or 8% on the transaction, based on all the old structure. So what they did is they carved out a small ticket program that actually drove that overall price of the transaction way down, and then all the but not most all of them now embrace the taking credit cards and debit cards, and now it makes sense for them to do it. So that was one special interchange that was created. Another one is like oil companies, home heating oil and gas companies is another one that comes to mind. similar situation. They, you know, oil is a commodity. It's you know, there's really no chargebacks with oil or problems with oil transactions, and the old structure on a load of oil, a $300 load of oil, they're probably going to pay maybe 300 times, well, $300 times, let's see, 3% would be $9. So Visa, MasterCard carved out a special rate for them, and now it might cost, what is it, Joan? It's probably about 65 cents is the base cost. Maybe just say $1.50 all in, depending on how it's priced. Does that sound about right, Joan?
That's right.
So we're talking $9 minus one down to $1.50. That's a huge benefit for these poor oil companies that were paying this high rate. So there's two examples of special interchange rates, and there's a lot of them. There really is. There's they've done a. Did you want to say something, Joe?
No.
Okay, maybe that was some feedback or something. Yeah, there's a lot of special categories, merchant categories that can get better pricing than a special carve out pricing for their industry. And there again, that kind of goes back to number one. You got to have a sales rep that knows what they're doing, because he or she could go in and set up that oil company incorrectly, and they would be paying $7.50 more than what they had to, you know, if they're set up wrong. So. That's why, again, it's good to use someone who knows what's going on.
Absolutely, Mark. Again, our time has come to an end so quickly. Good, because I know that people can certainly reach out to you for this information. Mark, would you please give out your contact information so people can call in at a later time?
Sure. First, the website. It's www.metromerchantservices.com. Our phone number is 1-800-771-3719, and we also have email, obviously, at sales@metromerchantservices.com. So thank you so much for having us on again, Ronald.
Absolutely. Once again, Mark Landis, President of Metro Merchant Services, and Joan Wennington, Director of Operations and Marketing. Thank you again, both, and we'll look forward to our third in a series of discussions on merchant service accounts.
Thank you, too. It's been a pleasure.
You have been listening to Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen, on internetblogtalkradio.com. Our guests have provided their perspectives about life's perspectives on you, the individual, the family